Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, Rabbi.
And any ladies that may be listening. Hope you're all doing wonderfully today. Yeah. You've had a wonderful Shabbos. We missed you, Mr. Steinberg.
Well, I have a very nice Shabbos anyway.
For the record. Baruch atah ani Elohim Eloheinu melech olam shehakeinu b'vrei.
Amen.
Okay. Okay, good. So we're going to refresh where we are at right now. Remember, we introduced a machlokas. The machlokas was that we have this statement that that when you change your location, you need to make a new bracha. And we had two qualifications. Two qualifications that Rav Chisda made. The first one being that when we say that when you change location you need to make a new bracha, that's only when you're changing from one house to another house. But if you're just changing from one location to another location within the same house, then it doesn't require a new bracha. The second qualification was that we're talking about a specific type of food. The specific type of food which the after bracha would have to be made in the very same location that you ate it. In such a case, you would not have to make a new bracha. The only time where you would have to make a new bracha is when you are eating from things which the after bracha is not required to be said in that place. Therefore, the before bracha is also, when you move to a new location, you don't need to make a new before bracha as well. Okay? Good. Was that? Yeah? Okay, the basic simple explanation being that the Gemara gives is because l'kiva kama hadar, because when you're in the middle of a meal where you got a bench in this location, you've got to go back to the previous. If you would go to a new location and you wouldn't eat in that second location, you've got to go back to bench. You're in the middle of a meal. Because you've always got in your mind that, oh, I've got to go back and bench. So, therefore, when you go to a new location and you carry on eating, you just slip straight back into that same meal that you were eating. Therefore, you are not required to make a new bracha rishona.
But you're required to go back to the original place.
And then, seeing as you've now eaten in this new location, this is the new location that you're going to be saying the after bracha in.
Oh, in a new location.
In the new location. This basically just continues the meal. You're just continuing the meal, and now the location of the meal has just changed. But the reason why you don't need to make a new bracha is because you're just slipping straight back into that meal. Because you have in mind that I'm in the middle of a meal, I've got to go back. And then you can just carry straight on into that meal. And this is the new location of the meal. However, by things, devarim she'ein tu'unim bracha la'acharim b'mukayman, things which do not require the after bracha to be made in the place, as soon as you stand up, that's the end of the meal. Gemar hasuda. Done and dusted. Finished. Yeah, you sit down, you have a glass of water, you leave, that's finished. Yeah, you're running on your way to the bus, you can just make a quick bari nefashos. Make a quick after bracha. You're not required to return back to that place. Therefore, to some degree, your mind is not still on the meal. You're not still in the middle of a meal. You're finished. You finish your meal. There's no kvius. Kvius means, Professor? You're not fixed. You're not set. You're not planted in a meal. Yeah, that's kvius. There's no kvius when it comes to eating.
Mokom kvua?
Kvua. Kvua means fixed.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's no kvius to a snack. Yeah? A snack is not, there's no kvius to a snack. There's kvius to a meal.
A snack would even be with a long a long bracha afterwards.
So we're now saying that a snack is only things which do not require the after bracha to be made in their place. Which, again, we said there's a machlokas, exactly how, which, what is defined as devarim hatu'un in bracha, or devarim she'en tu'un in bracha, the things which do require a bracha in their place, or which do not require a bracha in their place. Pashtus, simply, it's when you're washing, or mezonos. Or anything which requires a long bracha. That has a kvius. I think there's a discussion about wine.
The various fruits.
Yeah. I think there's a discussion about those ones. But
the last case, if I drink Pepsi, and went outside, if Pepsi still in my bottle, I go to another location. I need to say again.
You need to say a new shackle.
New shackle, even I continue drink the same bottle.
Even if you continue drinking the same bottle.
And the same as I make piece of apple, went back to
you
the
walk
street.
Out. You walk outside, you need to make a new bracha.
Even though you're continuing, you have just a continuing, you're eating as you're walking.
How many times need to say new
so bracha? So there is an opinion, it's brought down in Rabbi Bodner's book of brachas. Halachas of brachas, that if you have in mind that you never gave yourself a location of your snack, yeah, it's a transient snack, then the bracha does continue, even though you're moving to a different location. I think there may be a requirement that you're actually continuing to eat as you're moving
But you have to have it in mind before this is.
Well, you have to have in mind what before you make your first bite.
Who knows? Somebody, you start teaching somebody, call you. Need to go.
So you go and you make a new bracha. Question is, what about the after bracha? What about the bracha achreina? Oh, this is a good question. By the way, just to remind us, remember, we are learning this discussion. The Gemara over here is talking about the bracha rishona. It's all about the bracha rishona. It's all about the before bracha.
This is the main.
This is the discussion. The main thrust of this is we want to know: do you need to make a new bracha on what you were previously eating? Do you need to make a new bracha when you have a shini makom? Remember, the proof for, or the defining factor, not the proof, the defining factor according to Rav Chisda is about the after bracha. Right? Remember, the fact that the after bracha is required to be said in that place, that says that you don't need a new before bracha. Okay, and the fact that the after bracha is not required to be placed in a place, you do need a new bracha. But remember, we explained it. There's a very simple logic. The logic is there a kvius? The after bracha shows me kvius or no kvius. If there's kvius, you're continuing the same meal. If there's no kvius, you're starting a new meal. You need to make a new bracha. Okay? Good. Now, how do we paskin? Oh, sorry, one second. There's one more opinion that is brought in the Gemara. This is the opinion of Rav Sheshes, and Rav Sheshes says, Echad zeh ve'echad zeh tzarech levarich. Whether we're talking about this or this, you always need to make a new bracha. Now, we said, we're not sure whether Rav Sheshes is going on the first qualification. Remember, there were two qualifications. Okay. There was a qualification of from house to house, the distinction between house to house or place to place within one house. Right? Does Rav Sheshes say that? Basic, Pashtus, probably not. Probably he's not arguing on that. That's probably something which is fixed. But he's certainly arguing on the second point. The second point being that it's going to depend on what type of foods you're eating. Rav Sheshes says it doesn't matter. Whatever food you're eating, tzarech levarich. You always need to make a new bracha. Difference between Rav Sheshes and Rav Chisda being that according to Rav Chisda, if you were in the middle of a bread meal and you move to a new place, you don't need to make a new bracha. According to Rav Sheshes, echad zeh ve'echad zeh tzarich levarich. Whether it's this or whether it's that, you still need to make a bracha.
And you have to
even in the middle of a bread meal, according to Rav Sheshes.
And you have to break in and bench.
You've got to... benching, we have no idea, remember. That's we don't know about benching.
We haven't gotten...
But according to Rav Sheshes, the bracha reshoina, hamaitzi, you've got to make a new hamaitzi.
So what, how would he rule if you were eating bread while you're on a ship?
That's one location. That's considered one location. Yeah, the Achronim, I believe, discussed it already. That you're traveling in a karin, you're traveling in a cart. How do you call it? Horse.
Cart.
Yeah, you're traveling in a cart.
He's moving.
You're traveling in a cart. That's not considered shinei makim. That's not considered you're changing a place. You're in one place.
Earth's also moving.
Well, yeah. This ship is also discussing tomorrow. And I think Rabbi Akiva would not move out of his four tefachim.
That's a little bit different.
I was walking, but
yeah, that's a little bit different. That's the tchum. That's the tchum. That's very, very complicated.
Well, yeah, but it's related.
No, it's not.
We're talking about locations.
No, it's not, because according to tchum, you're not allowed to go a certain distance out of where you were at the beginning of Shabbos. Ish al yetzeh b'mkoymei b'yom ha-Shabbos, as the Pasuk says, a person shouldn't leave his place on the day of Shabbos. So you have a certain distance with which you're not allowed to go beyond that. You're not allowed to go on long hikes on Shabbos. You're supposed to stay in your place. This is how we have Eruv Trumin, that extends it. But there's a question about in the sea, right? Is there a Trum in the sea?
And is it moving? Is the Trum moving? Is your 4x4 moving?
1 second. So where you were when you started, when Shabbos came in, that's going to define your Trum. If the boat is going to be traveling, now, immediately, after not so long at all, you're already going to be outside of your Trum. If we hold that there's a trum in the sea, right? Because you're a distance from the bottom of the ocean.
But now you've got a 4x4 trum.
Sorry. So if we do consider that you are out of the trum, okay, then you're not allowed to walk outside of your Dalet Amos. Okay. So.
And now, as the ship continues to move,
Your trum is moved. Bal karcha, you're moved, being moved out of your trum further and further against your will. But if you'd start walking, even in the ship,
well,
you're still walking further from outside of trum.
Well, let's not walk. We'll just stand there and be eating our bread, and we're constantly being moved.
Yeah, but that's oynes. That's like against your will. You're not moving. You're not doing the moving. The ship is moving. But if we say that you are outside your trum, you're not allowed to walk. You're not allowed to move.
Did you read in
okay, you have you're within a square.
Relativity.
Dalet Amos square.
Ship
and the square is moving.
Not related to you.
I mean, the square relative to the ship is the same.
Else,
but if you're going to move, then you're moving out of the square.
The square relative to the to the Earth is moving.
Right.
Clear.
But that's not your choice to move. If you would start walking around on the ship as well, then you're walking outside of the trum. You are now, your current situation is you are out of the trum. You're out of the trum. It doesn't matter where you are. You're going to be carried, further. That doesn't matter. You are out of the trum. You can't walk out of the trum. You can't walk any further. Whatever the ship is doing, it doesn't. That's besides the point. You're not allowed to walk.
Oh, if you walk.
Yeah, you're moving out of the trum. The ship is moving around. Yeah, that, you're already out of the trum. It doesn't matter.
Or you're on a train, that would be similar.
Train is a similar question. The question is, it revolves around, do we say that there are tchumin lemaile me'asara? Do we say that when you are more than 10 tfachim, about a meter, about a yard above the ground, do we say that there is that tchumin still apply? Yeah, the tchum still applies. So a train is a similar question, because a train is your 10 tfachim, more than 10 tfachim off the ground.
Now, what is the distance off the
about
ground?
About a yard.
No, I don't mean that. What is the significance of the distance above the ground? What does that do?
So the halachic principle is that the above 10 tefachim from the ground, that's not considered the ground. You're not part of the ground. You're a part of Shemayim already now.
And?
As we see that the Gemara says la'olam lo yorad shechina lamata me'asara. The Shechina never went below 10 tefachim, and man never went above 10 tefachim. So on Har Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu was still within the 10 tefachim, and at Kodesh Baruch Hu, and they met in the middle. But the Shechina never came down into the 10 tefachim of this world, and man never went up beyond the 10 tefachim of this world, because that's this world.
And
that's
the practical result of that is
practical result is that if you are outside of the 10 tefachim, you're not bound by this. It's not considered that you're a part of this world, that you're bound by the
tchum. If you're on a bridge?
No, because the bridge is resting on the ground.
Okay.
But if you would be carried, you know, above 10 tefachim, you know, carried by a bird.
You're on a plane?
Carried by a bird. On a plane, yeah. But on a plane is a similar question.
You should, but it's mitzvah doesn't work if you...
No, mitzvahs apply. All the mitzvahs apply. All the mitzvahs apply, but the mitzvahs which are the ground... based, you know, location based, GPS based location mitzvahs. That's.
But you're on a plane or
so.
A
so much so, I believe that mitzvahs teluyos baaretz, the mitzvahs which are special for the land of Eretz Israel, if it's above 10 tefachim, they don't apply.
So if you have a hothouse, which would be
elevated. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that the mitzvahs Tzeluyos Baaretz don't apply. Yeah. There's. I mean, it apply. This thing goes across the board. Throwing something. If you throw something from one rishus to another rishus, but it was up in the air, right? These are all discussions. These are all questions. Yeah.
But this is
okay, but anyway, this is a distraction. This is a digression. Okay, but okay, shenei makim. So we have the machlekas, and for this right over here in this gemara, the question is about the bracha reshaina. According to Rav Chisda, if you are in the middle of a meal, then you do not need a new bracha. In the middle of a snack, then you do need a new bracha. According to Rav Sheshes, you always need a new bracha, even in the middle of a meal. Someone calls you to the door, yeah. You're in the middle of your bread meal. You go out to the door, you have to make a new bracha. Yeah, you go outside, you have to come back and make a new hamaitzi. Yeah, washing is it doesn't necessarily mean you have to wash.
But you still have to make a new
bracha. But a new hamaitzi. I don't know about the washing. But a new hamaitzi you'd have to make. Okay? That's Rav Sheshes. Now, we have these two opinions. How do we paskin? What's the halacha? What's the halacha? What's the halacha? Okay, so we're going to see a Gemara now. The Gemara is actually on Kuf Aleph Amud Beis. Yep, it's here. Okay. Meisvei. See Meisvei? It is just below the middle of the page. Second word in.
Yep.
You got it there. Professor?
Right below the shading on the right.
Yeah, miss.
Just below the shading on the right.
Second word in?
Second word in from the beginning.
There we go.
All right. There you go. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Or was that too fast? Okay. Meisvei. Meisvei, this is an attack question, which is being brought from a brisa, from a higher source. So if it's going to be implying more like one than the other, then this is going to be a strong proof, a strong source. pro one opinion and against another opinion. So let's see. Nezvei. B'nei Chabura, a group of people, Shehayu Masubim Lishtois, that were leaning, they were sitting down to drink. They were drinking. V'akru Raglehen. And then they were Oikar, their legs. Oikar, Akira, means to uproot. Yeah, what does it mean to uproot something? It means something is firmly planted, you uproot it. You uproot a tree, right? That's Akira. So they uprooted themselves, Lotzeis, Likres Chasan or Likres Kala, to go out to greet a Chasan or to greet a Kala. Kishahein Yotzin, when they go out, Ein to Unim Bracha, Lemafreya. They do not require a bracha retroactively. Bracha lemafreya, what does that mean, a bracha retroactively? Bracha lemafreya, what does that mean? What do you think that means?
To being bothered.
When they leave, they were sitting there to drink. And then they're going to go out to go and greet a chasana and kala. They're going to a chasana. When they leave, They are not required to make a bracha lemafreya, a retroactive bracha. What does that mean?
Before the
meal? Hafriya is to bother.
Sorry?
Hafriya is to bother. Maybe it's spelled...
No, that's la hafriya. This is not la hafriya. Lemafreya means retroactive.
It must be a slightly different spelling, too. Okay.
But there's two bracha, before and after.
So what's this talking about over here?
Before.
Before? They're not required to make a bracha lemafrei, a retroactive bracha.
What does that mean?
So bracha lemafrei, a retroactive bracha. When they are leaving, they're not required to make a bracha, a retroactive bracha. It means they don't need to make a bracha on what they just ate. On what they just ate.
Why is that retroactive?
Why is it retroactive? Because this is the bracha on the past, as opposed to a bracha for the future. Yeah? When they leave, they're not required to make a bracha lemafreya. Kishahein chayzrin, and when they return, ein tu'unim bracha lechatchila. When they return, they do not require a bracha lechatchila. Lechatchila meaning...
In advance, in the beginning, for what they're about to eat.
It's not using... The Gemara is not using this... This Bryce is not using the typical Lashon, the typical lingo language that we use for brachas, which is bracha achreina and bracha rishaina. It's getting bracha lemafreya, bracha retroactively, but remember, it's the concept. The Gemara, I think it's quite a nice way, a succinct way of explaining what the bracha is. Yeah, bracha achreina, bracha after... It's bracha lemafreya. It's a bracha from retroactively, like what you've already partaken of. And bracha rishona is the bracha lechatchila, at the beginning. At the beginning, when I'm about to sit down and eat, that they're not required to make a bracha. Okay?
So
do you get this?
When they
were sitting down, they were masubin, which means they were leaning to drink. When they uprooted themselves to go and greet a chasan and kala, they don't need to make a bracha achreina, and when they come back, they don't need to break a bracha rishona. Where are they going to? They're not going, they're going from one room to another room?
Maybe.
What do you think?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. It just seems like going out to the kala, and the chasan and the kala, they're in the next
room. Or it could be a different
area. They're in the next room?
It could be a different area.
Where do you see? Where do you see anywhere? Where do you see?
I believe this is the same house.
Yeah.
Where do you get that from?
Why they should be so far from each other?
Well, let's see what the Gemara says. Kishahein yotzin, when they go out, when they exit to go and greet a chasan and kala.
From this room.
Well, they were in like a different room in the shul and that. Who says? It doesn't say they're in the bridal house or anything. Yeah, they're going out to go and greet the chasan and kala. They're going from one location to another location.
Right.
Okay, good. Yeah, that we have to bear in mind. Okay, so they're literally changing from bias to bias, from one house to the other house. And remember, we're saying that they are not required to make a new bracha. Now, what were they drink? What were they doing? What were they sitting down to do?
They were drinking.
They were drinking. What were they drinking?
Vodka.
What were they drinking?
It doesn't say.
Wine.
It doesn't say. Why do you say wine?
Because this is. Because of the event, they want to. I don't know, preparation to the meeting with.
Could be vodka.
No, could be vodka, yes, but it's not. I believe it's not water.
It happens to. It's not water. Okay, why is not water? How do you know it's not water? It happens to be. You're correct. They were drinking wine. Bring me a proof. Bring me a raya from the Gemara. Bring me a proof from the Gemara that they were drinking wine. Again, I'll say the Gemara to you. Again. B'nei Chabura, a group of people, Shehayu Mesubin, they were lying down. They were leaning. Yeah, don't think Pesach. Yeah, Pesach leaning. But they were leaning, lishtos, to drink, va'akuragle, and they uprooted themselves. Lotseis, to go out to greet a chasen kala. When they leave, they don't need a bracha achrena. When they come back, they don't need a bracha rishena.
I don't think it says.
It doesn't say anything about wine. Bring me a proof. Bring me a raya from the Gemara that we're talking about yain.
This is from this. To prove they drink wine?
Yeah.
Well, the masubin.
Why does that mean they were drinking wine?
Starting to feel it and they can't really stand up straight.
No. It doesn't mean they were masubin as a result of what they were drinking.
It could have been vodka.
But again, it could be vodka, yeah.
That doesn't work. Sure you want to record this?
But there is no any proof.
There is!
What is proof? They uprooted?
What do you say?
They uprooted.
What does that mean?
It means he came to higher than was before.
Sorry?
No, because wine make you little.
Not so much. No. No, vodka does the same.
Roots. A grapevine has roots.
It has nothing to do with the drunkenness. Okay, but yes, it is in the word uprooted. That is where the diuk is. Okay, you're right on two counts. You're just wrong in terms of the svara, the logic.
But rooted, it means your feeling is not worse before.
No. Nothing to do with being drunk. Nothing to do with being drunk.
But
it is in uprooting. That is the word. The upkru ragle, and they uprooted themselves. Remember, why would you have to uproot yourself as opposed to just walking out? This word. We need this word.
What's the word for uprooting?
What's the word?
Akira.
Why do you need to uproot a tree? Why can't you just push it over? Because it's...
attached.
Kavua! It's kavua!
So,
it's fixed!
So...
it's fixed! Yeah. When something's fixed, you have to uproot it.
Yeah, and?
How would a person be fixed in their place? They're fixed in their place because they're not having a snack, not having a glass of water. They're having something chashev. They're having a meal. They're in the middle of a meal. They're kavua with something. They're fixed. How are you fixed? Hamaitzi. You're in the meal. You're in the middle of a meal. Mezainos, wine, all of these things, yeah, are devarim hatu'unim bracha la'achareim b'mekayman. They are all things which the after bracha you have to make in their place. And therefore, we said, the bracha rishona, you don't need to make when you go to a new place. Why? Because you're in the middle of a meal! Lekira kama kahadar, as the Gemara says, you're returning back your original kavius. So when they uproot themselves, what they're doing is they're saying, "Well, we're in the middle of a meal, yeah, a meal of bread, a meal of mazonos, a meal of wine. That's all a meal. That's all kavius." Therefore, says the Gemara, when they leave, they don't need to make a bracha on what they had. So when they come back, they don't need to make a new bracha.
This would be wine rather than the schnapps.
That means
this would be wine. But, what does this mean?
But this is what he mentioned about only drinking.
They were drinking. They
but
were drinking.
Because of root, it means drink part of the big meal.
No, not necessarily part of, not part of a big meal. But they were drinking something kavua.
It says somewhere, right?
It says lishtos. They were leaning to drink. Yeah, but they were drinking something kavua. If you drink a glass of apple juice, you're there's no kavias to that.
You're not
if you
fixed.
Drink wine, that's a kavias. Even out of a meal, wine is a kavias.
Kavias, it means fixed.
You're fixed. You're in the middle of a meal. This is
a galacha.
This is a halacha. There's many halachas. Anyone who is well versed in the Gemara would also say there's a diuk. There's an inference from the word mesubin as well. Mesubin, right? We drink on Pesach leaning, but mesubin is the way that people used to have a meal. Yeah, they used to lie down on these beds like the Romans, you know, eating the grapes. Yeah, they lied down on these beds when you want to have a kavua meal. You want to sit down where you're like, not just you know sitting around a table on a chair. You know, you're having a proper sudda. You lean. That's how they did it. That's how right. That's why on Pesach we emulate that. We're princes. We're priests. We've got all the time in the world. We're just going to lean and we're going to. Right. That would be a diuk as well. That would be an inference. I didn't let Professor get away with it when he said mesubin was an inference because that wasn't enough. You don't know. You don't
this
know that.
Basically.
But mesubin is also that there's a kavias to it. There's a kavias to sitting down. Last week I stayed by a place and he was sitting around his table and he was drinking wine. Yeah, that's it. Just wine. That was when we were sitting around there for hours. We were kavua having wine.
But that's the reason why the word uprooted.
That's why the diuk meaning an inference. It's not an implicit. Yeah, it's not an explicit. Yeah, but it's implicit from the fact that you uproot meant that you were fixed. There was a kvius. So the drinking wasn't a glass of water. The drinking was devarim hatuunim bracha lacharim koyman, and we see that you do not need to make a new bracha. Yes, Mr. Steinberg.
Okay,
Professor
I go to a wedding.
Okay, professor, why not?
Professor.
Accolade.
And
yes.
General.
He's a lexicographer. Professor.
In the middle of the meal, I say, well, we're going to have mincha. So we go out to have mincha, and then we come back.
You do not need to make a new bracha, according to this opinion here. Okay, now, what do we see from this brisa over here? Again, what do we see? We see that if you go out and you are uprooted yourself, you are kavua, you are fixed in your meal, when you leave, you don't need to make a new bracha. When you come back, you don't need to make a new bracha. What do we see from that? Remember, we had two opinions. One, Rav Chisda said, we distinguish between what you were eating or not. Rav Shesha said, you always need to make a new bracha. What do we see from this brisa?
This is distinguished.
Good. Yeah, we see this brisa, when it says mesve, this is an attack. Who is this an attack on? We don't necessarily remember names. Yeah, this is an attack on Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says you always need to make a new bracha. Here we see a brisa saying very clearly that if you are kavua, you don't need to make a new bracha. Yeah?
So it's
this is an attack on Rav Sheshes, who says you always need to make a new bracha.
And here it says you don't.
Says you don't if you are fixed. If you're fixed in the middle of your meal.
And we have something, and this is a brisa which...
This is authoritative.
Take. Yes.
No, this is kind of a galacha. But this is, you read. Last one.
This is a halacha. No, this is a brisa. This is an authoritative source.
Why is this written so complicated language? Not kind of...
It doesn't say the halacha is like Rav Chisda. As opposed to halachas like Rav Sheshes, we're taking an implication.
But this is this kind of story, narrative. There's somebody can lie, somebody drink. Where after the different words, we try to make conclusion. Why is not to write completely?
Because, again, this is Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebal Peh, oral Torah, is a conversation. This is a discussion. Okay. This is reverse engineering the rules to get the principle. We have a case of people who are Mesubin Lishtois. How do we reverse engineer it? What do we see from here? We see the basic bottom line halacha, which is that Devarim Atu'unim Brachot Acharim Kaiman doesn't require a new bracha.
This may be the final conclusion from this story.
We not necessarily. Final? Nothing
no,
final
no, but
yet.
But
we
for
want
for
to
now.
Try, we are trying to bring a proof from this halacha. It's not a story, it's a halacha.
But this is a, the, looks a story.
It's not a story, it's a halacha.
But
it's a halacha. How halachas work, we have to know this as well. How Mishnayos and how Brises and how the Gemara works is that we always paint a picture. We have a case, we have what's called a tziur, which is literally like a painting. It's a tziur. Yeah, we have a tziur, we have a case, and we have a din. We have the halacha. Yeah, we have the case, and we have the din. These guys were lying down, and then they were oikar, they had an akira, they uprooted themselves. That's the tzir. Yeah, what's the din? What's the halacha? They don't require a new bracha. So we have a tzir, and we have a din.
But tzir, this is... But there is...
But what do we do? What do we do? We take that din in that tziur and we reverse engineer to understand what is this halacha? What is this tziur? What is this din trying to tell me? We're trying to say from this being brought as a proof here, we're trying to say this is trying to tell me that if you're in a meal and you change your location, you don't need to make a new bracha, just like Rav Chisda said more succinctly. But we're reverse engineering. Now, what we're going to see now is you misunderstood what this Bryce is trying to tell me. This Bryce is trying to tell me something completely different.
Okay. But there is another tzir? Maybe it's another...
We're now going to change the tzir a little bit. We're now going to change the tzir a little bit.
For me, it's a little story about Kala, Hassan is not... But we make a conclusion even this specific case.
We'll draw conclusions.
No, but this is make a conclusion for everything. Not
yeah,
related
yeah.
To
but do you see how we're reverse engineering this very relevant and very practical application? We've got to reverse engineer and see what is it actually trying to tell me? What is the principle behind this tziur? What's the principle behind this halacha?
But this
so we're suggesting that the principle behind this halacha is what Rav Chisda was saying.
But this is what I agree with. This is what we read. This is interpretation, your interpretation. This kind of common, or there is
This is the way the Gemara works.
It means everyone understands that rooted. It means meal.
We can.
If somebody else talks about that, can
at this point in the Gemara, yes. What the Havamina meaning what the premise. The premise is that the word Akira means that they were in the middle of a meal, and that is why they don't need a new bracha. But if they were just having a glass of water, they would need a new bracha. That's the Havamina. That's the premise. That's how we're understanding it. At this point, that's how the Gemara is understanding. Therefore, based on this, you, Rav Sheshes, say you always need to make a new bracha. I have a brisa implicitly, which implicitly implies that you do need to make a new bracha. You don't need to make a new bracha. That's contradiction. We can't handle that. So Rav Sheshes, in order to get out of this problem on Rav Sheshes, again, we've got three ways of getting out of the situation. Either you can say, yeah, you're right. I throw my hands up. The white flag principle, yeah? Remember this? We spoke about this. Or you misunderstood what I was saying. I was saying something different. And therefore, the Brisa is not a problem for me. Or you misunderstood the Brisa. The Brisa was saying something different. What you thought was your premise of this Brisa, your way that you understood this Brisa, implied something unlike what I was saying. But I'm going to tell you, you misunderstood this Brisa. This Brisa meant something completely different. The principle of this Brisa was not coming to tell me that. Yeah? like Rav Chisda, like what Rav Chisda said. The Braisa was trying to tell me something completely different. It was telling me a different halacha. The way you reverse engineered this Braisa to get the rule, yeah, which was a kasha, which was a problem to me, is wrong. You should have reverse engineered it that way. And you see that the principle of this Braisa was actually something talking about something completely different. And therefore this Braisa does not present a difficulty for me.
Okay. But not now.
There's nowhere among the Tanaim, among the previous primary sources, yeah, in Halacha, that says that in such a succinct way that Rav Chisda is right. Nowhere that says that. There's brises, there's halachas, there's details, there's applications, but you've got to say, well, can we find a proof to it anywhere? This is what we're saying. We want to know who is the halacha like? Is the halacha like Rav Chisda or like Rav Sheshes? Nowhere in the Mishnah does it say it. So we can't bring a Mishnah to there's nowhere that's going to say the halacha is that when you move your place, as long as you're in the middle of a meal, then you don't have to make a new bracha. There's nowhere that says that. So we're now trying to bring a proof from somewhere. We don't have anywhere explicit which tells us, but we have an implicit source.
Okay.
Yeah, do you get it? Do you hear?
But this is a common idea. There is discussion.
Yes.
There is no explicit galacha, but there is some braises. We can make some conclusion. What is who is what's wrong? Who is not?
Yeah. But this a logical implication. Yeah, is a very very strong source. By the way, I mean just to illustrate this, I think we saw it once in the past that a kal v'chomer, yeah, we saw at one point I think that you remember a kal v'chomer. How do you call a kal v'chomer?
A priori,
yeah, a logical argument. If it's true by the less obvious case, then it must be true by the more obvious case. A kal v'chomer takes precedence over a drasha. Over an inference from a verse, meaning the verse itself says something, yeah, which is implied. No, logic is stronger. Yeah, a logical argument, a logical implication, that is a very very strong thing. This is how do we know? We saw the 13 principles of understanding the Torah are all a lot of them are logical. Yeah, logical inference. This is Torah. The Torah itself is based all logic.
But this is a general approach to different opinion after that to Braisa. We can start directly from the Galacha, or this is not.
Yeah, this is the
learning starting with different.
This is the discussion in the Beis Medrash. This is what the discussion. This is remember Ravina Ravashi, who compiled the Gemara together. What they did was they went around the different base medrashes, Bati Medrash, and they saw what people were talking about. How were they learning? So this one said this, that one said that. Another one says, well, what do you mean? How can you say that? This is a thing. And then he answered back and said that. And this is a thing. This is the process. This is the process of Torah Shebal Peh.
But this is
the oral Torah.
But learning is kind of repeat this process in our time. We come to say discussions the same.
Yeah, this is how we're learning. But we're learning rules from this. We're learning rules. And also, we're a part of it. We're a part of this discussion. We're a part of the Torah.
But what if we did not find this case of kind of Bryce? How
would we paskin?
How we found Galacha?
How would we rule? What would be the halacha? Yeah. So then we have rules. We have rules about how we paskin, about how we rule in halacha as well. We have principles. Yeah, yachid for rabbim. If you have a minority opinion or a majority opinion, the majority wins over. There are certain rules, base Shammai and base Hillel. So halacha is like base Hillel. Yeah, if you have this, that one, and this, and that one, and that, Rava and Abaye, there's rules about how we pass it.
If there is no explicity, we can derive something from.
There's always a halakha. If we don't have a way, we saw once. Remember, we saw in when we were talking about the kav in Arba Amis. Remember, a kav in four cubits.
Oh,
remember,
yeah.
The apples spread out, and we asked the question: kav in Arba Amis. How about chetzi kav in shtei Amis? How about half in two, and how about two in eight? Yeah. And the kav shumshumin of sesame. Yeah, remember what we said the halacha was over there? Teku. Let it stand. We don't know. Remember, we saw the Shulchan Aruch. We saw how we rule. There's principles about how we rule in a teku. It's a question, it's a suffix, it's a doubt about diraisa, about a biblical mitzvah, therefore you have to be stringent. However, if there's any rabbinic application of it, then we're going to be makel, we're going to be lenient. Yeah, so there are rules, even a suffix, even a doubt, even a question, yeah, there's rules about how to deal with a suffix. And this is Torah. This is Torah. This is Hashem's ratzon. This is the will of God that the Torah should be like this. Torah loy bashamayim hi, the Torah that is not in Shemayim. Like okay. The rabbi said at Sukkos, I think he was speaking. But the Torah is not in Shemayim, it's not in heaven, it's down here
for us. In this case, we can finally make Galacha. What case need to say?
We're not finally at Halacha yet.
No, but this is, there is not a final?
No! You think Rav Sheshis is just going to take it lying down like that?
No, but this is what...
There's an implication from this brisa which is contradictory to Rav Sheshis.
No, but not...
So Rav Sheshis is going to either say, yeah, you're right, throw his hands up,
yeah.
Or he's going to say, you misunderstood me, or he's going to say, you misunderstood the brisa. The rule that you derive, the implication you derive from this brisa is wrong, because the brisa is talking about something different. That's how we're going to see. We're going to see that it's going to be that way.
Still, maybe this Bryce is not the same.
Maybe this Bryce is not talking about our case. It's talking about something different.
Wow.
So let's see. Let's see. Yep. Again. Meisve. Yep. Meisve. The attack. Bnei Chabura. The people were sitting. They were sitting down to drink. And then they uprooted themselves to leave. They don't need to make a new bracha. What's that like? Rav Chisda says... You uproot yourself, you're in the middle of a meal, you don't need to make a new bracha. If you're just having water, you do need to make a new bracha. Here we see uprooting. Yeah, you do not need to make a new bracha. That is contradictory to Rav Sheshis. Rav Sheshis says you always need to make a new bracha. Good. Now, let's go back inside. Let's go back inside. A few lines down from there, but there's a base Dalid Aleph in the middle of the line. You see this, Mr. Steinberg?
Halfway.
A base Dalid Aleph. There. See this?
Mm-hmm.
Here? In the middle of the line, a few lines down from where we were. There's a base Dalid with a triptych and an Aleph. This means Bameh Devarim Amurim. Wow. Bameh Devarim Amurim means, what are we talking about? What does this mean? We are now going to be qualifying this brisa. We're going to be changing the case, changing the tsiur. Yeah, what are we talking about? Where are we talking about? Remember, we said if you leave, you uproot yourself, you don't need to make a new bracha. We said from there, we see from here, that if you are fixed, kavua, you don't need to make a new bracha. If you're not kavua, then you do need to make it. We're saying, no, that's not what we're talking about. Bameh Devarim, what are we talking about? Shehinichu sham zakein oichayla. That they left behind a zakein, an elderly person, or a sick person. They were on their way to go and greet a chassan and kala. The elderly person or the sick person wasn't feeling as, you know, upbeat as them. They stayed behind.
Now, how do they know this?
Aval, however... However, loy hinichu sham, loy zakein v'loy chayla, if they did not leave behind a zakein, an elderly person, or a chayla, a sick person, keshehein yotzin, when they leave, to unim bracha lemafreya. They do need to make a bracha lemafreya, keshehein chayzrin, and when they come back, to unim bracha lechatchila. they do need to make a new bracha.
Wow.
Okay.
New, completely new about something who left or not.
Where are they getting this?
What is the difference if somebody is left sick or not?
Sorry?
What is difference?
The difference is the tzir. The tzir, the case is, why is it that this brisa says you do need to make a new bracha? Yeah, you do not need to make a new bracha? Because they left someone there. If they did not leave someone there, then they do need to make a new bracha. What does it mean that you leave someone there? You leave someone behind. Someone is
that's your anchor.
Someone's babysitting the table. Someone's looking after. Someone is still here. What does it mean? That's your anchor. You're still anchored. Why are you still anchored? Not because you're in the middle of a meal of wine. Meal of wine doesn't make a difference. What's your anchor? Your anchor is that you have a zaken achayla. If you did not have that anchor...
What is anchor?
An anchor. Kavius.
You are if somebody's planted. Still here, you're still planted?
You leave someone behind, you're still planted. You've left your zakein or your chayli. You left your friend. You're not going to leave your friend. You're not going to leave him in the lurch.
Or anyone
when
else.
You go to greet a chassan and kala, yeah, you may just stay there for the whole night and just go party away. But you left behind your friend. You're going to come back to your friend. That means that you're still kavua. You're still anchored. That's a great word for kavua. Yeah, for kvias. You're anchored. You're stuck there in that meal.
Meal is this kind of. And brocha before after is kind of very personal. No.
Not at all. It's very objective. It's not about personal at all. It's halachic.
It means if not, it's not completely uprooted. If somebody's still here.
Someone is there, you're not uprooted. What do we see from here, though? What do we see from here? We see from here that the only thing which is anchoring you is the fact that you left someone behind.
Not the wine.
If you did not leave someone behind, then you have to make a new bracha. And the Gemara infers what we've already done. Taima.
That's the end of the line.
Midikatani, the last word of the line. Midikatani akuragleh, and from the fact that it taught they uprooted themselves, it's implied that you were talking about things which you were fixed for. Things which require the after bracha to be set in a place. The timer, and what's the reason why you don't need to make a new bracha? Because you left behind a zakein achela.
Or it could be anyone else too.
The baby.
Oh, anyone. Yeah. Anyone. You left anyone behind. It just happens to be this story. Yeah, this story was that they're going to greet a chassan and kala. They left behind a zakein achela. Anyone. You leave behind anyone. No, baby wouldn't work. But you leave behind anyone. Who's going to come back for a baby?
It's mitzvah.
You're going to leave. You leave behind someone. That is why you don't need to make a new bracha. However, loy hinichu sham zakin achila. If you did not leave someone behind, kishen yotzin. When you leave, to an bracha lachatchila. You need a bracha. You need a after bracha. Kishen chayiz when you come back to an bracha lachatchila. You do need to make a new bracha before. Now. Now, this way round, what is this brisa talking about? This brisa says that you don't need to make a bracha when you're having wine. Why don't you need to make a bracha when you're having wine? Because you left someone babysitting the table. If there was no one babysitting the table, though, then even for wine, you need to make a new bracha.
Not just somebody babysitting the table. They said
Kasha?
Very specifically, chola or zaken
achayla.
Could have been baby. And why do I say that? Because they're talking about someone dependent on you, which means you are going to come back. There's no question. Zaken and chola.
No, but there's dependent on you. There's a reference to baby or sick.
It could be. Maybe. Those. But I don't want to get too.
Well, that's why they picked those.
To anchor down. Yes. Could be. Could well be.
You have to come back. There's no question.
Yeah. Could well be. Okay. What do we see from here, though? We see the only reason why you don't need to make a new bracha is because someone was there. And remember, we're definitely talking about wine, which is tevarim had to unu bracha lacharim b'kaimit, something which requires the bracha to be set in place. But when you leave, you've got to make a new bracha. If you didn't leave anyone behind, you have to make a new bracha.
It's not because someone's there babysitting the table. It's because it's a guarantee you're coming back.
Yes, but that anchors you to the table. You are anchored to the table by this Zaken Echela. You're anchored to the table. What's the anchor? The anchor is not wine. The anchor is not a bread. That's not an anchor. The anchor is Zaken Echela or a baby or whatever you want to say. That's the anchor. Wine alone is not an anchor. It doesn't work to anchor you wine. What do you see from here? Says the last line of the Gemara. Kasha l'Rav Chisda. This is a kasha on Rav Chisda. Not right. Originally, it looked like a kasha on Rav Sheshes. We said, wine, you don't have to make a bracha. That's the Rav Sheshes says you wouldn't need to make any bracha. Now we're saying, oh, no, that's not what the Brisa means. The Brisa is the other way around. Brisa is only because someone is there. But if there's no one there, wine is not good enough. Wine doesn't help. Rav Chisda, remember, said that things which require after bracha to be set in the place, that you never need to make a new bracha. The Brisa says, yes, you do. The only way you don't need to make a new bracha is if you have an anchor, a person. Zaken Echela. You don't have a Zaken Echela, wine's not good enough. Kasha la Rav Chisda. This is a kasha on Rav Chisda.
But this is more important, who is left. It doesn't mean difference if you eat meal or drink
doesn't
water.
Water doesn't make a difference. You
if
have a Zaken Echela, that anchors you.
It's still connected.
Yeah, that's what anchors you. This is clearly a kasha on Rav Chisda, because he says that it does make a difference what you're eating. We see from this price that it doesn't make a difference what you're eating. It just makes a difference if you have a Zaken Echela, you have an anchor. Wine itself is not an anchor. So we leave off at this point, at this juncture, we're leaving off with a kasha on Rav Chisda. Okay? So, with this kasha on Rav Chisda, we'd say the halacha must be then like Rav Sheshes. We've got a brisa, which is a kasha on Rav Chisda. But again, now Rav Chisda's not going to take it lying down.
Next week, need to take paper, draw chart.
You said you can't draw a chart
yet. No, but this is something like this can be.
You bring the paper, you draw the chart.
You can draw a chart, you're allowed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, last week you wouldn't allow it.
I wouldn't allow a chart?
Yeah,
sure I did.
If I wanted to make a chart, you wouldn't allow it. Alright, okay. Alright. Go ahead.